bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you once again for joining us. Here we are, November 2025. Wow. Again, as the older I get, the more I say the year has flown by and I can't believe it's November. But here we are. And I want to talk today about a subject that you might wonder how this has to do with social justice, but you'll figure it out as time goes along. Because lately I've been observing my fellow creatures. I'm kind of a people watcher, by the way. I like to sit and watch people, observe people. And I was admitting to a friend this week that I have a habit after receiving communion. I sit there and watch people and I need to close my eyes and pray more. But it seems that a lot of people are standing up for the poor, for justice, for the downtrodden. And it causes me to smile to see this. However, a major missing piece in all of this is God. So I've been pondering how so many people can stand for the poor, the downtrodden, without any root in God. And as I pondered, I realized a few of the missing elements. Now, last week, I touched briefly on the phenomenon of people who have no belief in God, yet really standing up for justice and the poor and how that can be. Well, today, we're going to go deeper into this phenomenon and figure out what's really going on. So again, as I pondered, I realized in modern social justice movements that do not have God at the center, there's a few missing elements. So first of all, I identified six of these elements. First of all, without God, social justice becomes a means for my self-acceptance. It just becomes a way for me to feel good about myself, divorced from any connection to the cross. As any true work of justice has to be connected to the suffering of Jesus on the cross. There's no way around that. And the reason for that is because in truly creating that just society, there is a required giving up of myself. So any means for my self-acceptance or to feel good about myself or doing something is quite the opposite of real justice. I used to have a nonprofit, and when people would work with us, I would drive it into their head as, I don't want you here if you're here to have a good feeling about yourself. Suffering is required in the life of a disciple of Jesus, and suffering is required to be a person of justice. For example, if you're going to visit those in prison, that creates suffering. If you're really going to get deep into that person's life and really invest in them, or if you're going to feed the hungry or to stand up for orphans and widows, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer as you witness their suffering, as you hear their stories, as you walk through the times they get betrayed. And if you're walking with them in those betrayals, you too will be betrayed. If you're really creating a just society, you're going to be rejected, despised, pushed away, ignored, laughed at, judged. Okay? And so, but without God, social justice just becomes a means for me to gain some internal reward. Secondly, the missing elements in the modern social justice movements that do not have God at the center is that without God, social justice is about words of protest, but never about self-denial, death to self. So, it becomes a means where I stand, I hold a sign, I do some chant, I call out something, but I'm never really doing anything about the problem. Because if I'm centered in God, then I'm really actually motivated, inspired to go deep into this and to get out and root out the problem of injustice. I think of the silly protest we're having in Portland right now as I record this podcast. A lot of people in Portland are protesting ICE or immigration enforcement agents. And they're doing it in non-traditional ways by standing around the ICE facility in Portland with frog outfits on and dancing in the streets. Yeah. There's unicorns. There's people dressed like all kinds of characters and just dancing to music and stuff as their form of protest. Kind of silly. Makes me laugh as I watch videos of it, actually. But the fact is, the self-denial of getting out and really suffering with the immigrants, suffering with those who are being deported, it's not there. Why? Because when I am divorced from God in a situation, then I am no longer required to actually enter into your suffering with you. To live in the life of God is to enter into your suffering, which is at the very core of the Christian faith, that God came to earth. And God did not, from a distant heaven somewhere, speak words of salvation, speak into my life. Rather, God took on human form and entered into our suffering with us. And therefore, if you have any form of real social justice, there has to be an entering into the suffering of the other. A third element that's missing is that without God, social justice becomes an us versus them game. So in fake social justice, there are enemies and then there are friends. But there's really no true cruciform love. It's no longer about bringing people together and reconciling the oppressed and the oppressor. It's an us versus them zero-sum game. Fourth, without God, social justice has no other objective than to prove the other wrong and punish them. As I've listened to conservative and liberal news, all they can do is judge and hate on opposing viewpoints. In fact, on social media and on the news, when I observe liberal points of view and I observe conservative points of view, they're both doing the same thing. They just hate the other side, and the other side's wrong, and we are virtuous. Same thing. Doesn't matter. Both sides are doing exactly the same thing. And so without God, again, social justice just becomes, you know, about you're wrong and I'm going to punish you for being wrong. Rather than entering into a dialogue and entering into true peace talks. Fifth, without God, social justice never leads to the reconciling of enemies and humanity. St. Paul says in the scriptures in the letter to the Colossian church that reconciling enemies is the mystery of the church. St. Paul says the mystery of what God is doing in the church is he's taking those who were formerly at odds with each other, and in his case, Jews and Gentiles, and he's making them into one people. That's the mystery of the church. That's what's supposed to be going to church. So the church should be at the forefront of reconciling people. So in an unjust situation, you have enemies, people who hate each other and are being violent to each other. And then you step in as a peacemaker, blessed are the peacemakers, and you bring them together as one. That's true social justice. That's true church, true Christianity at work. And then finally, without God, social justice temporarily solves, or at the very minimum, brings to our attention that there's a problem, but it never heals or saves the soul. A person transformed by Christ makes real-time progress in the world. So I'm not here just to make sure that this injustice is eliminated. I'm here to help cooperate with God in the salvation of the souls of the individuals involved. I don't want the oppressor to just stop oppressing people. I want the oppressor to actually be transformed into the life of Christ and to become a person of humility and peace and gentleness and kindness. That's the end game. So as you can now see, For there to be true social justice, it must be rooted in and take its source in God, the God of justice. Without that, you're left with a benign, surface, almost meaningless type of justice. So how do we do that, though? How do we get to the point where social justice finds its source in God? Well, you do it by entering into the mystery of God. Too often, we teachers are guilty of giving you information about God. But today, I want to challenge you to enter into the mystery of God. God is not something or someone to know about. Rather, God invites us into the inner sanctum and to experience his life and experience him. We can often fall into the trap of learning about the gospel and learning about social justice, but failing to enter into the deep where we are becoming one with God and becoming a person of justice. The Bible doesn't just say that God does justice, but that God is a God of justice. So which comes first? Let me challenge you with this question. Which comes first, the gospel or social justice? Some will say, well, it's the gospel first, obviously, and then social justice grows out of that. And some people say, well, you got social justice is the gospel. You've maybe heard of the social justice gospel, which I do not subscribe to. But the fact is, you can't separate the two. One causes the other. The gospel is the proclamation that God is reconciling people. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas challenged us by saying that you do not answer the question, who is God? Who is God? Before you answer the question, what is God? So, let's talk about that. I've got a few points to talk to you about entering into the mystery of God. And the first word I wrote down here was silence. God dwells in silence. In fact, my patron saint, Benedict Joseph Labre, he would go for months without having his voice heard. In fact, a lot of people didn't even know what he sounded like because he would go for months without speaking. Because he believed that in order for me to go deep into God and to enter into unity with God, it has to happen in silence. Now, how do we do that? Well, there's many ways you can do it. Go to adoration. Go to church when the body of Christ is on exposition and just sit in silence. I like, which saint was it? Just skipped my mind. I just had their name on my tongue and now it skipped my mind. But there was a saint that said, when I go to adoration, I look at Jesus and Jesus looks at me. I love that. It's just the sitting and looking of friends with each other. Meditation, deep contemplation, those moments where you don't say anything and you're not trying to accomplish anything with God. You're just being there with God in silence because God dwells in silence. Secondly, how to enter into the mystery of God. I've got the word be. Just truly in the act of being, of existing. Where my thoughts are lifted to God, but I'm not trying to think of anything. My words are lifted to God, but I'm not trying to say anything. I'm looking within. You know, by the way, God is not somewhere outside of you. God is within. He's not somewhere in some separate, distant place, but God dwells within. The people in Jesus' day told Jesus, show us the kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom's right inside of you. That's where God can be found. It's to truly be present, fully present within is how I enter the mystery of God. shutting out all the outside noise, shutting my thoughts, calming my thoughts, and just being fully present in the moment. Entering into the mystery of God can be sitting down with coffee with somebody instead of thinking about what you're going to say and thinking about all these externals and thinking about your next meeting as being fully present with that person. Third word I wrote down, how to enter into the mystery of God, is to pray. And there's different kinds of ways to pray. Again, silence, meditation, pray rosaries, chaplets, the liturgy of the hours, all kinds of prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to pray, or just those spontaneous moments of God. Just the word God draws your attention away from the world to God. Abba, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Just those spontaneous prayers. Or if somebody informs you that they have a disease, you don't have to have some big fancy hoopla prayer. I see these modern day Pentecostals just shouting at God. Saint Ambrose said, do not yell at God in your prayers because that's disrespectful. But when a friend informs you of a disease they have, just the simple prayers like, Lord, I don't know how to pray for my brother right now or my sister. Just please have mercy on them. Give them grace and help me to be a friend to them right now. Just that simple prayer. Or, God, there's this grave injustice that's causing a lot of people to suffer, and I don't know how to pray about it. I'm asking for wisdom. I'm asking that you have mercy. I'm available to you for this injustice, Lord. The fourth word is reflective reading of scriptures and spiritual writings. Reflective reading of the scriptures and of spiritual writings, just doing it slowly and reflecting. There's all kinds of tools to do this with. But it's not about just reading. But as James teaches us in the Bible, we look deep into the scriptures. We're looking down into a deep well, a deep pond, a deep ocean, and we're reflecting. We're not just reading for the sake of reading, but we're really deeply asking the questions. What does this mean? What's going on here? How am I supposed to apply this? And finally, to enter into the mystery of God, we do so through human relationship. Through human relationship, by seeing God in the other, because the other in front of us is made in the image of God. Even if the other person in front of us doesn't believe in God, that does not delete the image of God in them. I still think of that story, and I've told it before, where Mother Teresa's standing on the streets of Calcutta, India, and she's standing there along the road. There's a beggar on the sidewalk, sitting on the sidewalk. There's a journalist talking to her. I think it was a journalist. And they asked her, Mother, teach me to talk to God the way you talk to God. And I'm sure they were expecting some big pious answer, but they asked her, teach me to talk to God the way you talk to God. And she pointed to the beggar on the sidewalk and said, well, he's sitting right there. Go talk to him. Mother Teresa understood that my avenue in relating to God is not just vertical up and down, but it's horizontal. It's with those around me. By talking and truly investing into relationship, real relationship with others, I too am entering into the life of God and the presence of God. Now, the other day I was seeing a news story on the genocide in Sudan. And this genocide has been going on for 20 years now. It just seems in Sudan that they just replace one dictator with another dictator. And yet, America, the government, is deporting immigrants to Sudan. And as I watched this, I wondered, how is it that we as a nation as nations can look away from 20 years of atrocity that we just ignore it as if it's not even happening, doesn't even hardly make the news anymore. How do we do this for 20 years? Then I realized that when I am connected to Christ, I am, like he was, moved with compassion. But when I am only connected to my own self-interest, I don't care about anyone else. And that is the true meaning of hell, to be totally collapsed in on myself. May God move us deeply to enter into him and thus be truly moved with compassion, starting right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.